Hello, and welcome to Change the Face of Yoga, teaching toddlers through golden oldies. I'm very excited to be talking to lots of yoga teachers who will explain their passion for teaching yoga to students with different ages, physical fitness levels, wellness levels, and different goals. They will explain the benefits of yoga for these students, and we'll be including teacher tips and pose modifications. I am Stephanie Cunningham of Yoga Lightness, and I've been teaching over 50s for 10 years. So this area is my passion and the passion of many other yoga teachers that you will be listening to in this series. Thank you so much for listening, and let's get started. This is episode 39 of Changing the Face of Yoga, and I'm interviewing Sheila Norman, who is a yoga teacher that works with veterans and kids, and she is an expert at using yoga to promote the benefits of going into the parasympathetic nervous system to help with stress and turmoil, shall we say? So let's listen. Hello, this is Changing the Face of Yoga, and I have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Sheila Norman, and Sheila has a very unique take on yoga, and she says that she loves teaching yoga in a way to fully support any person who desires to be in better communication with their own selves and their own body. And she uses a wide variety of techniques to help people with this. And we're going to go into that later in body talk, energy medicine, yin yoga, sensory processing and integration techniques, and Ayurveda are just some of the things that she uses. And I'm very impressed with how many different populations she teaches, because I can't believe that it can be easy. She is a former Marine, and so she works with veterans, and she works with seniors, and she works with kids. And then I think she probably just works with the regular group of people. She does private and group classes. So welcome, Sheila. I'm so glad that you agreed to come on the podcast.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm so happy to be here.
Is there anything you'd like to add to that you'd like our listeners to know about you?
I don't think so. I think that was perfect.
Okay, great. I guess one of the things I really want to know about, you say that sensoring, processing, and integration techniques are really important for older adults. Could you, first of all, define that for me? What is sensory processing and integration techniques? And then explain to me why that is so important for older adults.
I had experience working with developmentally challenged adults many years ago. And I really love that aspect of that job where we kind of bring in to their flow of the day different activities to sort of help clear and reset the nervous system and the brain to kind of help them to interact better with their day, their activities, with themselves, and just really kind of tied in that extra body awareness. As I was working with yin yoga and also energy work too, and a lot of the practices that I tend to share involving relaxation, toning the nervous system, kind of resetting or bringing people into a parasympathetic state, I realized that all of those old practices that we used to do totally connect and tie into that. So I just refreshed my education and started to tie that into classes and individual lessons. And those practices tend to look like joint compressions, body padding, like padding over the body head to toe, which you see in lots of different types of yoga and different traditions, Tai Chi. I tend to tie that in. I will teach hand massage and foot massage, and different little forms of deep pressure, tense and release, and things like that, just to kind of wake up all of those different sensory neurons located all throughout the skin and the fascia and tied deep within muscles to help people kind of get that feeling, that me concept, that feeling of here I am in space, it kind of helps to tie into the present moment and to sort of set that parasympathetic state.
Well, that's really interesting. I teach seniors also, and I do a few of those things, but I hadn't thought of the others. Now, could we just go a little bit more into, I think it was the second thing you said about pressure, or not pressure, but putting things on the body just from head to toe. I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly the term you used.
Tapping, just padding.
Yeah, and padding. That's it, padding.
Yep, just padding, like drumming, beginning at the top of the head and drumming over the scalp and the face and the neck, and then eventually padding down.
Patting. Okay.
Yeah. Padding eventually. The whole body.
You say you're a former Marine and now you teach veterans. I would assume you have an insight that perhaps those of us that have not been in the military would not have. What do you think is the most important thing that you bring to veterans that want to try yoga?
It's interesting because for years I would, you know, just sift. I've worked with veterans in different capacities. And in the past, I have a social work degree and I also worked with people transitioning out. It was specifically women transitioning out of the military. And I just thought it was really interesting how, regardless of people's background and exactly what they had done or experienced or their gender, even the time of service, you know, many years ago or recent, there was just some really similar themes that people seem to experience around, obviously, post-traumatic stress and anxiety. Lots of people with breathing, kind of restricted breathing patterns and different responses to different situations and typical locations of pain and chronic pain in their bodies. So I just kind of observed these themes over time and of course saw them in myself. And I was like, what is the foundation for these types of manifestations that you see in people that really, really upset their life and upset their well-being? I'm like, what is that from? What is that? So I just kind of thought about it and looked, and lots of self-inquiry and lots of talking with other people, like not just people that I work with, but, you know, friends. Mm-hmm. And especially in the Marine Corps, I can't really speak for other branches, but you're toning your nervous system to not respond to your body's natural messages or natural suggestions, you know? So it's kind of like all of that wealth that we have available to us through body awareness. You literally spend years conditioning that response, the observation and response to those signals that your body is sending you. You basically kind of are shutting that off as a mode of survival to train you in certain situations to keep going and proceed, even though essentially whatever threat it is not there anymore. It's just part of training. And over time, your nervous system it becomes agitated, and that's how you've kind of trained it to be. So it of course takes some time to train it and slow it back down again and sort of train yourself how to respond to situations appropriately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if that.
No, that's really fascinating. I mean, I hadn't really thought of that before, but I can see what you're saying, that training probably really has an effect for some time, because you know how it takes a while to get the nerves trained and then again untrained, I'm sure. So that's really interesting. So what kinds of things do you do with the veterans to help them retrain their nervous system?
Well, we take a lot of exercises to just simply exist in like a parasympathetic state. I think it can take a lot of very in-tune observation and also a lot of years for people to even notice that they're in kind of a sympathetic state where breathing is shallow, throat is constricted, mind is racing, blood going to limbs rather than digestion or to healing, insomnia. I think, you know, heart beating fast, even right away early in the morning, kind of a breathing pattern that's sort of up just in the top of the chest. I think it takes a little while for people to even really feel and connect and notice that these things are happening and that they're not mandatory and that they're not forced. You don't have to do that. Like, I think it just takes a second to allow yourself to stop being vigilant, to allow yourself to be less intense. I know for a long time myself, I brought a level of intensity that was, you know, not really required, like in situations, you know, you need 100%, well, it'll bring you 200%. And I see that with, you know, lots of other veterans, lots of other people. And just doing that over time, you know, always like coming in very intense and strongly, it's like you see that there's not a tiger chasing you. You don't have to do that. And so, yeah, a lot of the practices are spent just getting into and used to and accustomed to a kind of more relaxed state. And some of the actual practices are definitely, like I mentioned earlier, the body tapping. And I also use a lot of auto-suggestion and tense and release. And we do a lot of breathing exercises with an extended exhalation, just also a lot of full diaphragmic breathing, because a lot of breathing, and it doesn't have to be this way, of course, but a lot of times with breathing, you're holding in your abdomen in the military, and then just kind of keeping your breath in the top part of your rib cage, and you don't really notice that you're doing it. So we spend a lot of time just kind of observing the movement of the diaphragm, observing the way that you feel, taking extended exhalations and like kind of like a whistle blowing or as if you're blowing out candles on a birthday cake. And then also alternate nostril breathing is super helpful. Lots of different bumblebee breathing, lots of different breathing exercises.
Well, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way at all. So would it be fair to say, I mean, looking at all the things that you do when you do body talk, energy medicine, which I'll ask about that, yin yoga, sensory processing, and Ayurveda, that you're really focusing on the parasympathetic side of yoga, the relax and release kind of things. Is that a fair statement?
When people, I literally have clients that are from age 5 to 95.
Wow.
And I know people are like, you know, that's a lot of different demographics.
I know, I'm impressed.
They're like, how do you focus? And I'm like, well, the theme of the teachings or the approach that I share is the same, basically. So it's kind of like the overarching thing, yes, is to teach people how to direct their own energy in such a way that they can spend more time in a parasympathetic state and kind of tone the nervous system. So like, let's say somebody does run a red light, or like if it's a little child, let's say they do have an upsetting moment, then their nervous system is able to just return back to a balanced and ready state more quickly by learning these types of techniques, just by empowering them to be able to direct their own energy and see that they have a choice. They're the ones in charge of their body, and they're able to say, oh, I have this tool that I can use, and I can try this. And over time, you know, most things are really short little practices that they can integrate into their lives. But yes, it would be correct to say that all of these things kind of swirl together to bring about a cooler, calmer experience with the nervous system.
Okay, great. Why do you think that you were attracted to this particular area of yoga and all of these other things that you do?
Well, a lot of them I've used for myself and for my own recovery or well-being. Getting out of the Marine Corps, I did have a lot of chronic pain and injuries. And body talk helped a lot with that. Ayurveda also, with the way that my Ayurvedic training is through the California College of Ayurveda. So it's rooted in the Shivananda tradition and the kind of the concepts of like proper relaxation, proper diet, proper meditation, those concepts related to Ayurveda and how there is a proper diet and relaxation, breathing and exercise and positive thinking and meditations. There are what is called proper or specific forms of all of those for different people, depending on their constitution and depending on their, you know, imbalance or area that they want to focus on. So for me, getting out of the Marine Corps and then working, I was having lots of issues with overworking, overexercising, insomnia, lots of overdoing, you know, because when you're, I don't know, in training to be in the Marine Corps and then you're out of it, you see that there's not a need for your previous skills and setup. So it's like unwinding all of that just takes some time. And something that I noticed too with myself and others and some of the people that would really struggle with transitioning was that they would really judge themselves. And I think ladies, I don't, you know for sure, this is just my personal experience, but the ladies that I worked with before and my friends seemed to have some kind of self-judgment around transitioning because technically you're coming from kind of a masculine world and it's, you might feel, or I felt kind of inappropriate in some situations with just the level of intensity. And I don't know, like in the workplace, how always well received this was at the time. And this is in 2001. So I do think we have come a long way.
Okay.
But yeah, I just spent a lot of time with all of these techniques and just kind of learning about the specifics around how you can approach different imbalances in different people kind of helped take away that lens of self-judgment that can get kind of in the way, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really good to know. I was going to do this earlier, but I didn't. So let's just get a definition for body talk energy medicine, just so people know what that means.
Okay. It's kind of cool. It actually comes out of Australia, which is where you are. So maybe it's all around you. Who knows?
It could be,
It is a body talk is a whole entire energy medicine system that can go very in depth. The parts of it that I offer are very simple techniques that can take just a couple of minutes. And then if someone were actually, I teach that to everyone. It's called a Cortices technique. It's one little technique that takes a few minutes and it just involves holding areas of focus on the head and then tapping over head, heart, and abdomen. And people use that for all sorts of things, like to improve focus, to feel a more restful state of alert, to relax. And then body talk access is a longer process where if someone were in session, it would probably take about 30 minutes or so. And that's just holding areas of focus over different parts of the body and kind of connecting the communication in the body mind. So kind of in a way working with the nervous system that way too, but also just the other body physiology and chemistry, digestion, just simply by holding the brain's attention over a certain area.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I have been exposed to this in Australia. So I do know, now that you've explained it, I do know what you're talking about. We've kind of got to the point where we think that, or you agree with me, that your focus is more on the relaxation and the release and the parasympathetic. And you've chosen yin yoga as, I don't know if it's your only methodology for teaching yoga, but you do mention it in all of your information. Can you tell me why you've chosen the yin yoga as part of this really interesting and complete relaxation kind of training that you're giving people.
Yes. So the yin, I do have certification in other types of yoga, or like hatha yoga that you typically see around here. I do have training in that, but I chose mostly to be working with yin in the last couple of years because I like how it ties in with benefiting the nervous system, working with the bones and the fascia and joints. I think really helps to get in good communication with the nervous system. So that I actually started doing yin because I have fibromyalgia and I was in so much pain that I was like, oh, please let me find something. And I found yin yoga, and it was so cooling, and it felt like so immediately helpful. And 10 sessions, I would say 10 sessions, I felt like a completely different person, and all these spots in my body that were so tight and sore, they felt completely different. And all this super tight fascia that I'd been having as a result of chronic pain, and then through the development of the fibromyalgia, yeah, it felt like it was supple again, like it could move again. And then I started just to learn a lot more about it, and it kind of took over.
Okay. I admit to a pretty shallow knowledge about yin yoga, but what I think I know is that it's holding poses for longer than you would in an average yoga class, shall we say, to allow the muscles and the fascia to release. Is that correct?
Yes, totally. And then like some of the postures are different. I mean, they're somewhat, some of them are the same, but they'll maybe be lying down. Like the forms will be similar, mm-hmm. but mostly happening laying down. Lots of hip work, kind of boosting energy flow in the meridians also.
And how do you do that? How do you boost the energy flow?
Different postures that you take work with different meridians.
Okay. So it's the choice of the postures that would bring that about.
Right. Yeah. And then you spend a lot of time in there and take nice deep inhales and exhales and kind of allow your body to process whatever emotional or metabolic stuff might be around the way that you feel when you're in the posture. So it kind of is nice and cleansing like that. And it allows you to become comfortable with discomfort. And also I feel like helps people to learn how to approach themselves in maybe a more intuitive, compassionate way, because you're practicing with a foundation of allowing, with a foundation of passivity, qualities around earth and water, like stability and trust, and nurturance, patience. So when you're taking the time in this thing and you're feeling like an old injury, or you're feeling like super tight in some space, it gives us a chance to notice feelings of self-judgment or maybe any type of feeling that does not promote our well-being that could happen around ourselves, not accepting where we're at or how we're feeling. Sometimes it can be, especially, I feel like in the US, we really expect a lot out of ourselves and other people. And when there's injuries present and there's healing, I think we could probably benefit from giving ourselves a little bit more time around those things. And I think the yin practice helps people have the time and space to do that.
Like I said, I teach seniors and I've been trained to do that. And I was taught not to hold things too long with seniors. Do you find that an issue in yin yoga? I assume you're doing yin yoga with your older adults. Perhaps that's incorrect.
Yes, but it's totally modified too. You know, it's not like you don't have like a crazy full body weight on your, you know, gravitational pull on your knees or anything like that. It's still completely modified. And I always tell the class, I'm like, even if you didn't have arms and legs, you can technically do these things.
Really?
Because you visualize yourself doing them and you breathe and you, you know, put yourself in a position that replicates the energy pattern, or it sets yourself in a certain structure to create a certain type of feeling for you.
I haven't tried to do yin with any of my students, but maybe it's a possibility. I agree with you that as with veterans, older people do have stress. It's a different kind of stress usually, but it is stress, and they have all of those issues that you've talked about, self-judgment and all of that kind of thing. So I can see where it might be useful. I'll have to do a little more study, I think, before I'd feel very comfortable adding it to my classes. But I'm glad to hear that you would recommend it, that you think it's a very worthwhile for people of that age.
Yeah. And then it's totally, you know, like I said, it is totally modified and modifiable. And a lot of the practices, since we are focusing on like bones and joints, are focused around foot stretches, foot exercises, being in good communication with your feet themselves. Some of it is eye yoga and hand massage and foot massage. Everybody loves that.
Yeah, yes.
there's a lot of relevant tie-ins for older populations, but it's definitely not like, I'm not exactly sure what you're thinking, but I'm thinking it's not like as intense as you might be thinking.
Okay. Yeah, well, I could see. And then you sit there for 10 minutes and I'm going, oh, no.
No, it is not. It is not quite that extreme.
Okay. All right, good. I feel better about this. All right, I think we're coming to the end of our interview, but I want to make sure that if there's anything you would like to add that you would like the listeners to know, that you have an opportunity to do so. So is there anything else you'd like to cover that we haven't?
I don't know. I guess I just want to be a voice of encouragement for people who were told they should try yoga, who feel like they want to try yoga, who've learned about all the benefits and they, you know, feel like it could help them, but they feel intimidated, or they feel like they cannot do it, or it's not for them. I just want to say, yes, you can. And there are lots of different types out there of yoga and different types of practices that can be deeply beneficial. And they can really change the way you feel really quickly. So just go for it.
Go for it. All right. I want to thank you for that. That's great, because that's definitely what Changing the Face of Yoga is about, is having everybody be aware that there's some kind of yoga that would be helpful for them. Mm-hmm. If you'd all like to talk to Sheila or just look at her website, her email is sheila@yesyoga1.net. And her website is www.yesyoga1.net. And her Facebook page is facebook.com/yes-yoga-1. So I have looked at her website and it's really very interesting. So thank you so much, Sheila. I think you've given us some real insights into using yoga on the parasympathetic relaxation release side and all of the very many different kinds of things that you're doing, which I'm sure we all know from yoga that people react to different things different ways, and you need to be pretty flexible to find different things for different people. So I think you've done a really excellent job of bringing in a lot of different modalities to help people. And I congratulate you on your creativity and your passion for it.
Thank you so much. I just feel lucky to be able to do it.
I know. It's kind of like yoga, isn't it? You feel really lucky that you're able to share it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. It was lovely to talk to you.
Lovely to speak with you as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that wonderful interview. Please download and subscribe to the podcast on my website, which is www.yogalightness.com.au. To give a review of the podcast, you can go to iTunes, and the address is bit.ly/CTFOY, all in caps. And I would greatly appreciate your leaving a review of the podcast. If you would like to contact me, you can send an email to info@yogalightness.com.au. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Let me know your opinion on them through the review process on iTunes. And subscribe if you'd like to know when each new podcast comes out. Thank you again.